Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Smith rifles that one to Mims. And that's a foot race he's going to win. Touchdown, Baylor. Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards. Five straight games, Anthony, where he's got a touchdown catch of over 20.
That's deflected and picked up Mosey. He'll take it in. It's a pick six.
Bell into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
There was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know,
and
what?
It's the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for part two of our in-depth look at the film of the Jets 2020 draft class with a man who always joins us to do X and O quick hits. He's the host of Blewett's Blitz over at JetsXFactor.com, Mr. Joe Blewett. So, Joe, yesterday during part one, we talked about everything up through the first two picks in the fourth round. Last pick in the fourth round is one that a lot of people were giddy about. Cam Clark from UNC Charlotte started to pick up some steam in the lead up to the draft as people discovered the tape that he put out against Clemson, where he was incredibly impressive. And so people dove into that. But obviously, most people haven't sat down and watched a ton of his tape from UNC Charlotte because it's UNC Charlotte. You did, however, because the Jets drafted him. So I was curious, do you think that the rest of his tape lives up to what people are hoping for from him as they envision him standing next to Mekhi Becton for the next 10 to 15 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now this is where we go to the positive. Definitely high on Becton, definitely high on Mims. And we just talked about Zuniga and all those other guys and get like, okay, B, C-plus type picks. I get it. I really like Clark. I really hope that he ends up being the long-term left guard next to Becton, because they have both really nasty mindsets. I would say that Clark even takes a step above Becton, where he finishes every single play as hard as he possibly can, where Becton does as well, but not to the same extent, where Clark likes to bark in guys' faces and just try to absolutely destroy them when he's able to. So I really like his mindset. Solid size, you know, 6'5", 309. They're probably going to want him to gain maybe a little bit more weight to play inside. Solid arm length, especially if he's going to play guard at 34-inch arms. Like I said, nasty guy. I like his technique more than I thought I would for a later-round guy. Strong hands. I think he plays with good leverage. I think for his size, he has good power. Decent foot speed, considering the move to guard. I think if he worked to stay at tackle, which I really don't think he would, his feet are not good enough for tackle. He labors to get back on guys, you know, outside linebackers versus like Gardner, Webb, and teams he was playing. So he doesn't have the foot speed to play tackle. There's no way. But for guard, I think it's good enough. He has grip strength, active eyes, his hand placement's good. I think his footwork is relatively good. I don't know if I already mentioned hand placement, but I really, really like that part about him. That's the, probably the most impressive part about his technique, is he really knows how to attack guys with his hands and move guys through the hips, where a lot of guys, even like Becton, when they're trying to create movement, might hit a guy too high, might hit him in the shoulder pads, where Clark really knows how to effectively attack the center point of the body and where you want to attack to create movement, which is, well, in certain situations, is the hip, and he correctly places his hands there. He knows if he's getting beat to wrenching a guy is basically, okay, if you're the left guard and the guy is beating you to the interior gap, you're gonna place your left hand into the small of the back, and your right hand onto his chest, and you're gonna push with your left hand as you push with your right hand. You're creating forces in two opposite directions. It throws off your center of mass and makes guys off balance. He does that, which I like. He redirects force well, where a guy like even Becton struggles with that, where if a guy is, you know, if you're getting bull rushed back, which is push versus push, you want to deflect force, you want to go head on with it. So he knows to, instead of push back, he'll lift. You want to lift a push force. You don't want to necessarily push back against it, which you can at times, but if you are initially getting beaten, hopping back in your anchor, it's going to be hard to generate power through that. So he does that well. I've seen reps of him throwing fake punches. There's definitely positives there. His anchor is good. Now there's a reason, you know, he's a fourth round pick, and I could have seen, if the Jets picked him in the third round, I watched this film, I wouldn't be that mad. And like you said, a lot of people started noticing him, and all the highlights you see on Twitter was him against Clemson, which is fantastic, because you see small school guys, and what do people say about small school guys? Okay, well, they produce for small school guys. What happens when they take a step up to the next level? Clark had one chance to play a really big school this year, and he played better than he did in any other game and looked like the best player on either offense or defense that game. Just go watch that whole game. Like, don't go back to highlights. Watch the 10-minute cut-up of his snaps. He was an absolute monster in that game, and it wasn't fluke plays. So that's a huge positive for me to see that he stepped up versus their competition, because it just makes me seem like he wants it, and it's not gonna be too much of a step up for, like, it's gonna be step up from the NFL, but I'm talking about mentally. I think he'll be ready for it, because he seems like that type of dude. Now the weaknesses, and the reason why he's moving to guard over tackle, in my opinion, like 100%, the lateral quickness. You know, you see reps of him playing high in pass protection because he's laboring to get to the outside, so he's not able to maintain a good balanced space, because he's, like I said, he's panicking to get to the outside. Not panicking necessarily, but he's laboring to get to the outside because he doesn't have that natural smoothness, that natural foot speed, like Becton to guard. Now, that transition to guard is a weakness because he's never played it. So you have to consider that. It's a completely different position. It's not, okay, just move him inside is the same thing. It's a completely different thing. And now, instead of playing guys that are 240 pounds at Gardner Webb outside linebackers, you're going to be going up against, name a defensive tackle, you know, Dexter Lawrence or whoever, you know, Poe or whatever, you know, the guys who are 310 to 350 pounds in the interior. So that's going to be a transition. There's times where he opens his gate too early in pass pro. I don't necessarily want him to be moving in space a ton. I think he has decent athleticism, but I don't want him to be the puller consistently and having to be working out the second level, third level on screens, because he's a decent athlete, but he's not a great athlete. You see him be a little bit top heavy. You can see his feet stall in space. So, like, there's definitely technical things he needs to work on, mostly with him working in space. But in terms of a guy who you get in the fourth round, with the transition to guard, which I think will work out well, I'm definitely high in the pick. Obviously, considering, and this goes for all rookies in the NFL right now, considering they didn't have a rookie minicamp, considering there might be two less preseason games, considering there might not even be a full season or season at all, his transition is not going to be as easy as it is in every other year for rookies. But in terms of his future, I'm pretty high on him in terms of being a long-term starting guard for the Jets. So this pick gets definitely an A for me, because I really do like the player for sure.
What do you think about the possibility of him and Becton standing next to each other for the next 10 to 15 years? Does it get you as excited as it's gotten so many other people, including myself?
Yeah, man. You know I'm a nerd for the film, so watching that stuff necessarily would be really, really fun for me. Like I said, Becton's nastier. Clark's much more nasty. Like, I have so many plays of him just driving guys long after play, trying to bury them. It's so fun to watch, you know, that guy. And then you pair him with Becton, and those guys moving a guy in a combo block, like the guy is going to die. Like whoever it is, it's going to be crazy because they can create movement. They have that aggressive mindset, and putting them together and having them feed off of each other, guys who are both working with Duke Mannyweather, which is a positive that Clark's working with him as well. And now they're building that cohesiveness, which is really, really important for an offensive lineman. So to have those guys, and I just sort of one, they're friends, two, they're working together, and three, they're both physical, nasty guys. I think the Jets will be running to the left side a lot in the future. And then even, you know, like we talked about before we started recording, Scott, like if you have those two guys and they work out, now you have McGovern in the middle, and now it's really let's say he is left guard. Now the right side of the question, you know, do you get a guard next year? Do you have to get a right tackle, or does Fant or Odogo work out to be even a below average to an okay starter? Maybe they ride out with them. You get another guard next year. Like, so if those guys work out next to each other, it's going to be huge for the offensive line. I think that's where they will keep. Clark would be the left side, just because that he was working from the left side as a left tackle. So I think it's an easier transition from left tackle to left guard than it would be from left tackle to right guard, because now your stance changes. And, you know, if you're left tackle, left guard, you know, you're obviously depending on the defensive front. But typically you're still going to be going back. Your post foot's still going to be the right foot instead of the left side, where your post foot's your left foot. So I think to make it an easier transition, like I said, for him to stay on the left side, but obviously we'll see what the Jets want to do. But yeah, watching them together would be fantastic. I'd probably enjoy it too much.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Finally, we get to the fifth round before, of course, we get to an undrafted free agent that we're going to talk about. And in the fifth round, the Jets got somebody that many believe to be one of the big steals of the draft. That, of course, Bryce Hall, the cornerback from the University of Virginia. Joe, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Hall. When I watched him, I didn't see an elite athlete, but I saw somebody that had excellent cover skills and, really more to the point, tremendous instincts, which is very important to me when I'm looking at a player, because as much as you want that raw athletic ability, some things just can't be taught in terms of great instincts. You can try and shape a guy as a player, but when it comes to knowing what to do when, sometimes that's just an innate ability. And we've talked about that with Jamal Adams many, many times. Sure, he's absolutely gifted athletically, but the fact that he has these incredible instincts is a big part of what makes him so good. With Bryce Hall, you look at a player like that, and we know what the downside is because of the injury. So that's why he dropped. And of course, nobody could really get a proper look at him because of the fact that we have coronavirus going on, so guys weren't able to come in for physicals and so on and so forth. But when you look at what he did on tape for the University of Virginia at cornerback, I was very impressed, and I think it's very clear why he probably would have been a first or second round pick last year if he had come out, and why he likely would have been a second round pick this year if he hadn't hurt himself. I think a lot of Jets fans would have been fine with him a round or two earlier. He gets there in the fifth. What do you think? Are you as excited about this one as I am? And what do you see for him as a potential starting cornerback in the NFL? Do you think he can be that guy for the Jets? Perhaps a solid, even number two corner?
Yeah, so again, we started off kind of meh, and now we're ending really, really positively. Really like the Clark pick. Really, really like the Hall pick. And I legitimately believe that if he was healthy, he could have been a late first rounder. You know, there's guys like David Arnett in the first round of the Raiders took that I would take Hall over based on what I've seen from both guys. So even if not the first, at least in the second. So I think you're getting a guy with the first or second round talent because of those injuries. And, thankfully, it's not the early 2000s where a guy tears the ACL, whatever, and the guy's pretty much done where, something that this is another episode where DB, I brought in Marcus Coleman. Obviously, him playing a different level than I did, high school versus the NFL, but we both torn muscles. And I've torn my labrum and my groin, and I think he tore his shoulder as well. And we talked about it, which also Bryce Hall did in his leg. I think he tore his an MCL and ACL, and he broke his knee, whatever. So it's a huge injury because that's one of those injuries where you'd rather have a broken bone than something torn because something you tear, you can treat it, but it always flares up a little bit. And obviously, Hall, you've done episodes with whoever you did it with that said that he's basically a workout warrior, a guy who's really smart, a really good guy. So I think he's the type of guy to consistently, warm up his leg and stretch out his leg like he needs to, where if you just operate on a cold muscle, when it's torn like that, it might rip it a little bit more. You really want to loosen it up. So I think he's a guy who will attend to his injury as needed. So it becomes a slight less concern because I know Hall will address it the way he needs to address it. But that is concerning for sure. You're tearing multiple muscles and breaking your knee. I think that's the exact injury, but I believe that's what happened. That's a concern. But in terms of what he did on the field, both myself and Marcus were really, really high on him. To get him in the fifth round, I think is absolutely fantastic. And like you said, and I'm going to talk about some of the strengths and weaknesses, because of his limited athleticism, he might not be a guy you necessarily want to play on a Julio Jones or an AJ Green or one of those guys who is both physical and really, really fast at the same time. You might not want to play him on those guys, and you might not be able to. But in terms of him being a really solid number two, which is really important, I think he could be that. And honestly, they might be selling him a little bit short though, because if you look at guys like Richard Sherman, he's not a blazer, and he's limited athletically, but he's still a really good player because he's smart. And to a lesser extent, you were talking about the technique and the innate ability, the know-how, all that stuff. Look at Revis. Revis was never a fantastic athlete. He was just a really technically sound, physical, hungry guy. So you could be a good corner, not necessarily be the best athlete. So maybe I'm saying a little bit short there. But he has the size you want for sure. I believe he's at 6'1", a little bit over 200 pounds, which is definitely a good size for a corner. I know it's 32 plus inch arms. I'm not sure if it's one fourth, one third, whatever it is, but I know he's 32 plus inch arms, which is great. High effort, like I talked about before, praise for his leadership, which is a positive thing. If anything, the Jets are trying to rebuild this culture. They need guys who are high effort, high leadership, high character type guys, which we might have thought one DB we had is, but maybe he's not. Definitely not, at least it seems right now. So he has those abilities. He has good recognition in zone. He's a smart player. He recognizes the route concepts. There's a couple times at Virginia where I would see him be following a route concept and then see another one behind him where they're trying to distract him and then him break on the ball and get an interception, which it's hard to explain over me just talking, but he has his recognition skills. His eyes are low in press coverage, which you don't want your eyes to be too high because a lot of head fakes will fake guys out. The hips don't lie, as people say, with coverage. So he follows those hips. He has, even though he's limited in a straight line speed and his overall speed, I think his burst out of his T-step or quarter step are both good. I think for his size, he's a decent athlete with his mobility and his hips. He's never gonna be like Patrick Peterson in that sense, but still decent enough. He's patient in press. He crowds a route breaks. He will hold his line. He will stack guys. He knows when to play in trail. Like, he's a smart player. He wins 50-50 balls. He made some ridiculous interceptions. There was one interception again. Forget who it was against, but it was one of the most ridiculous one-handed catches I've seen. That's a good thing from the corner, and he played it really, really well. I forget exactly what the play was, to be honest, Scott. It was like a month ago, 2 months ago that I did it. I just remember that he was squeezing out to the sideline. The guy got a little bit behind him, and he transitioned his right hand to his left hand. So when you're squeezing a guy and you're looking back to the ball, you don't ever want to lose contact. You lose contact, you're losing one of your senses that doesn't allow you to play the guy as well as you should. And it was a really subtle hand switch where he went from his right hand to his left hand to still feel where the receiver was while looking at the ball. Something that not a lot of people noticed, but it was beautiful. And then he like cocks his left arm back for the ball and makes one of the most ridiculous interceptions I've seen. So technically good in most senses, plays over his toes. Like, there's a lot of positives I like from him technically, and how smart he is, and arm barring guys in terms of when they're going to catch the ball, where they can't raise up past his elbows. Like, he definitely has some technical things that are positives. But now the negatives, and there are some technical negatives. I think he looks back to the quarterback too early, where double moves and things like that, he might get thrown off a little bit, or maybe not on double moves, but he'll be thrown off a little bit if the guy flattens out the route, whatever it may be, because he's looking back to the quarterback too early, where most instances you don't want to look back to the quarterback before you have contact with the wide receiver, because that's when you lose the wide receiver. So he does that. There's times where he comes into tackles a little bit uncontrolled. There are some technical things I want him to fix in terms of his coverage, where pre-snap I want him to either play in press or play in off, but he too often he plays in what I like to call, and what Marcus likes to call, no man's land, where he's 2 to 4 yards off. So he's not close enough to get hands-on, and he's also not far enough away where you can take those read steps, which is what off coverage is really, that's the biggest benefit, minus the other situations, that's the primary benefit. So there are those things. And off coverage, you can see him open early instead of weaving and staying square. Like, there's some interceptions he dropped that he should know. His lateral quickness is lacking in some instances. But overall, for the player you're getting in the fifth round, I'm extremely excited. Again, I think he'd be a really solid number two. I think he can even be a number one. I don't want to sell him too short, but his athleticism, he's working behind the eight ball a little bit with that. But that's more long speed and like lateral quickness, but he has some fluidity. He has, bursts from, like I said, his back pedal. So there are definitely some positives with his athleticism. So don't just take it as I'm saying it. He's terrible, but I'm gonna be interested to see how the Jets use him. In my perfect world, he's either a press guy in man. I don't want to see him playing too much off man, or a cover three guy. A lot of people just think, okay, he's not a good corner in terms of his athleticism, play him in cover two. But cover two, even though you're not asked to play deep, you have to play that short area of the field, and you have to have really, really good burst to play in cover two. If you're trying to get underneath, let's say, the slot receiver on a smash concept, and then the quarterback loads up to throw a hitch, and then you close on that 10 ground or 10 yards to get to that hitch. Like, you need to be a really good athlete playing two. So I think that's a common misconception about cover two. Just because you're playing in a short or in a shallow zone and that cloud corner, as they call it, you don't need to be a great athlete. I think that's a misconception. I think cover three fits him a little bit better, where he could play off and use his physicality to stay over top of guys, instead of like playing like a press cover three, where he might have to match guys a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. So I think he's a cover three off guy, or a man coverage guy. Zone cover two, could he play it? Yes, but I don't think he's the best fit in a cover two type role unless you're really going to try to just press the crap out of guys at the line of scrimmage. But, again, rambling, he is a fantastic fifth round pick, and I couldn't really be happier with anybody at that time. I thought he was going to be a third round guy because of the injury. And again, if he wasn't injured, he could have easily been, I think, a late first, early second type guy. So I think fans have to be probably the most excited about this pick. You might be more excited by Mims and things like that. But I think for the value you got in the fifth round, I think this is the best pick that the Jets made.
It's funny you mention Revis, because if you read Collision Lowcrossers, Revis talks all about how Cromartie had much better physical gifts. He was a better athlete. He was taller. He was leaner, all of that. But Cromartie obviously didn't have the same overall work ethic and, on top of that, more importantly, instincts and know-how to play that position the way that Revis did. Didn't have the technique either. So that's really what separated the two of them, even though Cromartie, when you look at him on paper and you just watch him as an athlete, you're like, this guy was built to play the cornerback position. But sometimes it's not quite that simple, and it's not as simple for a guy like Bryce Huff, who probably would have gotten drafted if we hadn't had everything going on that's going on right now. Some people thought that he could be a mid to late round pick, a pass rusher out of Memphis. Yep. Didn't happen for him. Instead, the Jets get him as an undrafted free agent. A lot of optimism around him, Joe, I think for two reasons. Number one, people always love the idea of an uncovered gem. So if you get a guy like, say, Robbie Anderson, who is undrafted and he turns into something, it makes you feel like the team got a real find. The other thing here is that the Jets are so barren at outside pass rusher, with only Jordan Jenkins and Jabari Sanigo, who they just drafted. They've got really very little at that position. So the idea that maybe this guy could come in and do something has people really excited. What do you think? You watched his film. Do you think that A, he can make the team, and B, that he can make any kind of real impact?
Yeah, and this is, and like you said, a mid to late round guy. Honestly, if just based on the other guys who were drafted, if he was drafted in the fourth round, I wouldn't have batted an eye. I think that he could have been drafted there, fifth, sixth round. I think it's possible for sure. And I think what hurt him, I don't know, was he invited to the combine? There's something where it hurt him. I think that was combine related. So he wasn't picked as high. Now, regardless, watching what he did on tape, I like the player, and I'm not just hyping up any undrafted guy, because listen, like guys that people like Lamar Jackson or Cager or George Campbell or whoever people are talking about, I think are probably not going to make a team. Maybe they make a practice squad, but just like last year, I'm not sure if you brought me on for Greg Dortch. Everybody was super high on Greg Dortch. I crapped all over his film, and then he got cut from the team, because not every undrafted guy is going to make the team. Most of them aren't likely to, but Jets kind of have like a tendency to actually find some gems. Even like Kyle Phillips a couple of years, you know, or last year, or whatever. Dan Harrison, Robbie Anderson, like they have a tendency to hit on some guys. Obviously, different GMs in each scenario, but still. And Huff, I think, is going to be one of those guys. Now, maybe not Dan Harrison, maybe not Robbie Anderson, but even like maybe like a Kyle Phillips type guy, where he comes in, and makes an impact, is a guy who has, you know, solid depth in the roster and can make some plays. They're different players in terms of what they do. Huff is a guy who athletically is really good, you know, 6'3", 255. I think he's a really well-built frame, really thick trunk to his body, a lot of power in that lower body as well. You do worry about the length in his arm, 31 3/4-inch arms is not long enough. We always talk about like the five things you need to be a pass rusher. Length is one of them, and he does not have that. So that is a concern. Now, can people beat that? Yes, Terrell Suggs has done it. Melvin Ingram has done it. But he's not it puts you behind the eight ball when you have to work from behind like that. So you have to worry about that. But his athleticism, again, this is a guy who the athleticism's there. The technical work needs to be there or needs to grow. The burst off the line, the bend, the top-end speed are all there for sure. I think his ability for speed to power is definitely there, where he could set up guys and then, like I said, activate that trunk of his body and burst through guys if he can get into their chest, because he's making them open up their frame to him. So I think he could do those things, high effort. He has a tight spin move when he throws it. He has the ability to use the pass rusher move, which Aaron Donald does it a lot, where he kind of jumps into a swipe rip. He does that. And it happens too frequently, which is one of his weaknesses. We're hit on his third step frequently. He'll stab inside, get the guy to freeze his feet a little bit, and then take a huge step with his also that third step into the fourth step to pass the guy kind of laterally up the arc or whatever, and then throw that rip and bend. So he does it really, really well. He needs more accuracy in his hands, to be honest, when he is doing it. But overall, that's his favorite move. But he needs to diversify his skill set when it comes to that. But continue on the strength that I saw, the twitchy stop start I really like. I think he has the ability to drop into a shallow zone because of his athleticism and because of the fluidity. The lateral quickness, the short area explosion is all there. So, again, a Tracy type guy. So do I think he makes a huge impact year one? Not necessarily. Could he, though? Maybe. I don't think he's going to be a guy, at least in year one or early into his career, who's going to be, you know, stopping the run and setting the edge and things like that. He's going to be more of the guy who's, you know, third and long, second and long, pass rush type specialist, where maybe, you know, you take out a guy like a Kyle Phillips or a Shepard or Fado Costi, you put in Zuniga in the interior gap, and then you rush Huff from like a wide nine or a seven or you know, a loose five, whatever it is. So I think he's going to be a pass rush specialist his first year. But if I had to bet, I do think he makes the team. But he needs to improve in the run game. I think he's a little bit slower processor there. He needs to use his hands more. He needs to play with better leverage. He needs to just have a better overall feel for run concepts. The short arms worry you in the run game because you want to be able to stack and shed guys. You want to see more power in the hands. I think he's a powerful player, but I don't think he fully activates his hands where he kind of lays his hands into guys into really having a strong punch. And that applies to both the pass and the run game. And like I said before, he needs to diversify his skill set with pass rushing, where he relies on the same move way too often. And in the NFL, you have you know, pro guys who are looking at your film. Who are relaying that to the players. You have the players who are watching film. So basically, you use the same move all the time. It's going to get shut down, and I dare you to win in another way. But the positive thing is he has the speed, the power ability. He has the inside spin move. I think he definitely needs to use a cross chop more. I think that's something that would definitely benefit him, but I didn't see it really at all on film. So Tracy type guy, who I think will be a third down rush type specialist guy in his first year, maybe develops into more. But at the same time, if that's all he is, and you have an undrafted guy, and he gets you five, six sacks a year, and only plays in rushing situations, I would be ecstatic with that pickup. So I definitely really like Huffman. I'm not really necessarily exactly sure why he wasn't drafted in maybe like the fifth or sixth round. It's surprising to get this guy, but I'm definitely happy with it.
I say this every single time we talk about undrafted free agents. The bottom line is, if they make the roster, that's a win. If they contribute at all, that's a double win. And if they contribute at the level that you're talking about with Bryce Huff, that is a triple win. So let's keep our fingers crossed that he's able to become that type of player. Joe Blewett, the host of Blewett's Blitz, over at JetsXFactor.com. As always, thanks so much for coming on and breaking down the film with me. Really appreciate it. What do you got going on over at JetsXFactor.com? I know it's super busy. In fact, before we started recording, you told me you were working on some more film shows. So what do you got over there?
Yeah, I'm doing Huff next, actually. So good time to end it right after Huff. I'm doing Huff. So I got about 26 plays of him. And then I'm going to tap back into the free agents. Obviously, if you want to find Becton and Mims and all those other guys, McGovern, like all the bigger type guys, they're all available in the archives. But now it's the undrafted guys, and I have Sear left, I have Fant left, Ben Roten left. So I have some of the guys that people should want to know about left. And then after that, I'm going to do like the top 25 show, the ranking of the roster, so like some more fun shows for some people. So a ton of stuff coming. The good thing about being a film type show is you never have time to get it all done, but in a slow time like this, there's always more shows to put out and more content to put out. So the content's never going to stop for me, because it wouldn't stop until I got all 53 guys done on the roster. So there's plenty more coming until the season. Now, with saying that, hopefully there is a season, because if there's not a season, I might struggle to get to the next draft. I'll have more content, but we'll see. Let's just pray for the season. Like I said, check out Jets X Factor and Blue Splits on YouTube or the podcast app.
Make sure that you check out what Joe's doing over at JetsXFactor.com. All of the film breakdowns are there in their entirety. And also, you can get my new history series. If you haven't checked it out yet, I'm doing it in parts. Long-form pieces telling the story of the 2008 season with the help of Kerry Rhodes, who was there for the whole thing. And then at the end, going to put together an audio documentary of details on that as soon as it's ready. But it's going to be really cool, and I hope that when it comes out that you'll support it. And obviously that you'll support JetsXFactor.com, because got something really cool going on over there with Joe, with Michael Nanny, with Robbie Sabo. It is an outstanding site, and if you're somebody that loves Jets coverage, granted, you've got Joe Blewett, who doesn't sleep. You've got Michael Nania, who doesn't sleep. They're tirelessly on the case 24/7. That may be a little too intense for you, but if you love the Jets like we all do, there's no such thing as too intense as far as Jets coverage goes. So go over to JetsXFactor.com and check it out. And if you haven't given us a five-star review on iTunes yet, if you could do that for us, that would be great. Really appreciate it. It's an easy way to help out the show. If you like what we're doing, doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it really helps us out a lot. So if you could do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.